Good morning. I'm Margaret Tice, and I'm coordinator of children's services at the New York Public Library, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Donnell Library Center this morning. This is a culminating event for a two-year grant that we've had called Getting Ready to Read, Getting Children Ready to Read from the LSTA, Library Service Technology Act. And we're very pleased that we were able this morning to provide this program for you, Grow Your Child's Brain with Songs and Games, featuring Jackie Silberg. Jackie Silberg, award-winning and best-selling author, is an early childhood advocate and an authority on child development. Her recent books for Griffin House include Reading Games for Young Children, The Learning Power of Laughter, and The Complete Activities, Games, Stories, Props, Recipes, and Dances. She's the author of many other best-selling books, including Games to Play with Babies, Games to Play with Toddlers, Games to Play with Two-Year-Olds, 125 Brain Games for Babies, 125 Brain Games for Toddlers and Twos, 300 3-Minute Games, 500 5-Minute Games, and the I Can't Sing book. The current interest in brain development for young children has made Jackie's books very timely, as they give parents, caregivers, and teachers many ways to have fun interacting with children while developing valuable skills such as motor coordination, language, listening, counting, and problem solving. Jackie Silberg received the Distinguished Alumna Award from Emporia State University, where she received her Master's of Science degree in Child Development. The Distinguished Alumna Award recognizes her current achievements as well as her long and prolific career. She founded and directed the Jewish Community Center School of Music in Kansas City, Missouri, worked for Channel 41 TV, planning the music and performing her own original music for a children's program called 41 Treehouse Lane, where she was known as Miss Jackie. She wrote and produced a TV show for cable called Just Kids, which addressed children's needs and interests. She has been writing books and music for children since 1979. Jackie has given workshops, addresses, seminars, and family concerts throughout the United States, Canada, Australia, Germany, and Singapore. She has served as an adjunct instructor at both Emporia State University and the University of Missouri at Kansas City. She also lectures at Johnson County Community College. Jackie Silberg is also the owner of Miss Jackie Music Company in Laywood, Kansas, where she resides. And this is a lecture for adults this morning, but this afternoon Jackie will be doing a program for children at the Bronx Library Center at 2:30 p.m. And now it is my very great pleasure to welcome Jackie Silberg as she presents Grow Your Child's Brain with Songs and Games.
Let me hear that again. One of the things I do where I live is teach classes for parents and babies together, babies 0 to 5 years. However, most of my kids are toddlers, and after every song, that's what they love to do, is to clap their hands and go, yay! I was listening to all the titles of my books, 125 and 300 and 500, and I thought, well, let's see, I'm going to talk 120 minutes, so not quite, I don't think. I'm very honored to be here today. I was very thrilled when I received the original email saying that they loved my books at the New York Public Library. And I figured, well, if they loved my books, then they have to love my publisher because he's the one that publishes my books. And so I called my publisher and his wife, and they're here. And I want to introduce Larry and Leah Rood. Here you are, the publishers of Griffin House, www.ghbooks.com. Hundreds and hundreds of wonderful books for early childhood in every subject you could ever imagine. So I highly recommend it. And then there's another special guest in the audience. There might be others that I can't see, but this one I know is here, and that is my sister, Dr. Marcia Pachter, who came today. So I'm very honored to have her here as well. And it's just very exciting to be here. Of course, I love New York. Living in the Midwest, it's always exciting to come to New York. We've learned in the past 10 years lots of new things about young children because of all the new brain research. And the more we read and the more we learn, the more we know that the more experiences young children have at a young age, the better they will read, the better they will speak, the better their lives will be. It really does make a big difference. So what you do with your child, how you expose them to the world, the more loving and touchy-feely that you are at the appropriate times, the better they will do all of these things, be stress-free, and become happy, independent adults. Last night when I was sitting in the lobby waiting for someone to come get me, I had a conversation with this man who was here because there's a mock United Nations high school conference going on here in New York. I don't know if you know that or not. Like 2,000 high school kids, and they've been to the United Nations, and it's very fascinating. And he told me that he had seen a video about a very, very famous pianist. And when this pianist was still in his mother's womb, it showed in the video her sitting at the piano playing Bach. And this pianist turned out to be a very famous pianist who specialized in Bach, in particular in the Brandenburgs. And it was very exciting because there again, it was the baby in the womb. And I've always wanted to write a book, except that my publisher won't publish it, about songs to sing to your babies in the womb. Because again, with all the new brain research that we're finding out about, babies just can do amazing things and they know amazing things. All children benefit from music experiences. Music enhances learning, especially language development. Because when you sing, you use your mouth. You place words in a rhythm pattern. You do syllables in a rhythmic pattern. And that makes such a difference because it develops language. Recent brain research tells us that when children sing and move to music, they do all kinds of things. They use all the five senses. When they're doing like the hokey pokey, as an example, well, they're singing the words. They're singing the words, so they're using their voice. They're watching the other people do the hokey pokey, so they're using their eyes. They're listening to the music, so they're using their ears. All of these things make a huge difference in the growth of a child. So the more senses that are engaged, the more learning will take place. So that's what I want to talk about today, is music, language, etc. And you should have some handouts. Does everybody have those? The first one says, if you repeat the same behavior over and over, it will actually form a physical manifestation in the brain called a biological substrate. This creates an automatic response in a child. Now, what that really means is that the more you do something or you sing a song over and over, the child's going to get the idea, get the feeling, understand the rhythm, develop their language. So we're going to start with a song. This is a song I wrote many years ago. It's called All the Fish Are Swimming in the Water. Some of you may know it if you're teachers. How many teachers do we have here? Wonderful. How many parents and teachers? Because parents are teachers, you know. Great. Okay, so everybody take your hands, put them together like little fishes swimming in the water. You ready, little fish? Swimming in the water. swimming in the water, swimming in the water. All the fish are swimming in the water. Bubble, 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 bubble. Splash! Uh-oh, did you get wet? Anybody get wet? This time you can splash your mommy, splash your dad, splash your babysitter. Whatever you do, don't splash me. Are you ready? All the fish are swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. All the fish are swimming in the water. Bubble, 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 bubble. Splash! All right, let's do a little teeny tiny baby fish. What kind of a splash does a baby fish make? Ready? All the fish are swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. All the fish are swimming in the water. Bubble, 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 bubbles. With orange polka dots. What kind of a fish are you? Everybody ready? All the fish are swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. All the fish are swimming in the water. Bubble, 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 splash! All right, everybody up. We're going to be all the frogs are hopping in the water. Let's see you hop, little frogs. All the frogs are hopping in the water, hopping in the water, hopping in the water. All the frogs are hopping in the water. Bubble, 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 splash! Can you be a duck quacking in the water? Let me hear the ducks. Oh, that's very good. Quack, quack. Ready, little ducks? All the ducks are quacking in the water, quacking in the water, quacking in the water. All the ducks are quacking in the water. Quack. Alligators are swimming in the water. If you work with five-year-olds, they love this verse. Ready? All the alligators are swimming in the water. Swimming. Very good. All the alligators swimming in the water. Bubble, 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 splash. Okay, everybody sit down. All the anything can do anything. All the cows are mooing in the fields. All the monkeys are jumping in the right. This is such a great vocabulary developer because you have to say the words, you have to think about what they do. It's just wonderful for language acquisition. All the children are playing. Oh, I know. Let's do putting away the toys. All the children are picking up the toys, picking up the toys, picking up the toys. All the children are picking up the toys. Pick, 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 pick. Now, if you told your child to pick up the toys, the percentage of children that would do it is small. If you sing that and help them pick up the toys, it would make a big difference and they will do it. Because singing is such an easy way to get things to happen. And it's a very nice transition song. Has anybody here ever used it with your children? No? Well, I hope you will from now on. When you touch a baby, it increases the digestive abilities of the baby, and it decreases the stress. And you know, I think that that doesn't just go for babies. I think it goes for all of us, because if somebody is hugging us or touching us gently, it's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? And it does decrease stress. So this is a song that you can use to do that very thing. It's called Let's Be Friends. The words say, let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends today. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends today. Good. Try it again. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends. Now, everything that I sing, I want you to copy me. You can smile at a friend. Good. You can wave to a friend. You can wink at a friend. Let's be friends today. Everybody sing. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends today. Okay, now this time when you sing, you could smile at a friend. What could you do with your mouth? Yes, you can smile. You can wave to a friend. What would you do with your hand? That's right. You can wink at a friend. Don't you love to see little children wink? Let's try it. I'll sing first, then you sing. You can smile at a friend. You can wave to a friend. You can wink at a friend. Let's be friends today, everybody. Let's be as you're singing this song, and I want to tell you, that's just about one of the best things you could ever do with your child. It's just going to make such a difference in their growth, because they feel secure, and they feel no stress, and they feel loved, they feel important. It really makes a difference. Okay, so what are some other things you could do with your friends to tell them that you're their friend? What else could you do? Hug a friend? Okay, good. What else?
Talk
to a friend. Yes. Somebody else?
Share
with a friend. Okay. You can share with a friend. You can talk to a friend.
You can hug a friend.
Now, come on, everybody. It takes 12 hugs a day to have good mental health. So if we say you can hug a friend, what could you do? You can share with a friend. You can talk to a friend. You can hug a friend.
Let's be friends today. Big voice, big smile. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends today.
One more time, everybody sway back and forth. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends with one another. Let's be friends today. You should clap for yourself. You did such a good job. I just realized when I was telling you the story about the pianist, I was talking about Glenn Gould. And for some reason, I didn't mention his name, but I wanted to be sure that you knew that. Glenn Gould was a wonderful, wonderful pianist, and of course, Bach was his specialty. So I just found that so interesting that his mother was playing Bach when he was in the womb. And there's a lot of stories about various things that happen when a baby is in the womb. I have a friend who teaches in Iowa, Sister Lorna Zemke, and she teaches classes to pregnant mothers. And they come to the class, they wear tummy headphones, they listen to music, they have megaphones, they talk to their babies in the womb, and afterwards they come back after the baby is born to discuss all the different things that they feel the baby had learned while in the womb. And then there's this wonderful experiment, and so if any of you are pregnant, please try it. It's been done hundreds of thousands of times. Pick two or three songs that you know, and they don't have to be children's songs. They can be any kind of a song. And sing those songs to your baby every day while the baby's in the womb. When the baby is born, and if the baby is crying or is upset, if you go over to the crib and start singing one of the songs, what do you think's going to happen? Yes, absolutely. It's just been done so many times. Has anybody here had that experience? Huh? You want to share it? Could you share it with us? No? Pardon me? Oh, you're too shy. Okay. Is somebody else not too shy to share that experience with us? Anyone? I can't see real well because it's a little dark out there. Yes. You sang the song Hush Little Baby? Uh-huh. She liked, and she continued to like it after she was born. Calmed her down. Yes, it's really true. I've had people in my classes tell me that their grown-up children are still attracted to those particular songs that they heard when they were in the womb. So it's just totally amazing. Anybody else? I love it when people share. Okay. Gentle, soft songs with young children really make a difference. Actually, they make a difference for all of us. And this is a song that I want to teach you. It's just a wonderful, gentle, soft song. And it teaches lots of nice things, but basically it's just a gentle, soft song. It's called Conversation with a Tree. And you are going to be the trees. So I'm going to sing hello, and you're going to sing back to me, hello. Let's try it. I sing hello, and you sing hello. Good. Then I sing, you are beautiful, and you sing, thank you. Let's try that much. Hello. You are beautiful. What a lovely tree you are. Now, what kind of trees do you have in New York?
Cherry trees.
Cherry trees. All right. Okay, let's start again. Hello.
Hello.
You are beautiful.
Thank you.
to this world.
Okay, got it? If anybody wants to stand up and be a tree, I would love to see some trees. So stand up, everybody, and just be trees. All right. Cherry trees will be in blossom pretty soon, won't they? That must be a beautiful sight to see. Oh, what beautiful trees you are. Hello.
Hello.
You are beautiful.
Hey.
What a lovely tree you are. What's your name?
Tree.
You are beautiful. You add beauty to this world. Okay, somebody tell me something about a cherry tree. Big what? Have blossoms. Yes, I do. You are beautiful. What a lovely tree you are. What's your name? You are beautiful. You add beauty to this world. Something else about a cherry tree.
Pretty.
Pretty?
You smell pretty.
Welcome. What a lovely tree you are. What's your name? You are beautiful. You add beauty to this world. Do you give shade? You are beautiful. What a lovely tree you are. What's your name? When you're doing this with young children, you can talk about so many things. It's a very, by the way, it's a very nice Earth Day song too, and it's very environmental. And talk about trees and their importance, and you can ask all these questions. Now, in the classes that I mentioned that I teach, I use this song in a different way. We're all sitting on the floor with babies and kids in our lap, and so we go. Hello.
Hello,
you are beautiful.
Thank you.
What a lovely child you are. What's your name? And the parent or the child sings the name of the child. What's your name? You are beautiful. You add beauty to this world. Now, as I mentioned, my kids are fairly young because by the time a child is three, they're almost always in preschool or daycare. So most of the kids are toddlers, and I've even had infants as young as 2 or 3 weeks who basically sleep through the whole class. But the parents like it. They learn a lot. But anyway, so then we sing, where's your nose? And so if the child can put their hand on their nose, they do. If not, the parent takes the child's hand and puts it on their nose and says, here it is. You are beautiful. Thank you. What a lovely child you are. What's your name? You are beautiful. You add beauty to this world. Now, what could be nicer than telling your child that they add beauty to this world? I mean, it's such a wonderful feeling, and it increases their self-esteem like everything. It's a really wonderful idea. So I encourage you to use the song. It's a lovely song. Does anybody have any questions? Please feel free to ask questions during this. That would be fine with me. If you do, kind of do like that, because I can't really see really well. Or if somebody has their hand up, will somebody else let me know in case I don't see it? Number three on your handout is kind of interesting, I think. It's about neurons for vision. And one of the things that I learned, one of the many things I learned when I was doing all this brain research for my books, and I went to a lot of seminars, et cetera, was that the neurons for the brain, for eyesight, really develop pretty early. And so it's very, very important to stimulate a baby's eyesight. It says here they begin forming between the second and fourth months, provide plenty of stimulating activities to encourage eyesight development. Now, what are some things you think you could do for a child to help them develop eyesight? And by the way, if you don't do stimulating activities with your child to develop their eyesight, many of the neurons die and fade away. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be blind, and it doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to be able to see, but it does mean that their eyesight will not be as keen and as sharp as if they had had these activities up to the age of 4 months. Yes.
You,
how wonderful. She took her child to the MoMA, where I'm going tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. That's a wonderful idea. What else can you do to develop a child's vision? There's things you can do at birth. You know, your baby is used to hearing your voice. So if you're holding your baby or someone else, or the baby's in the crib and you stand over here and you talk, the baby's going to hear your voice and they're going to turn their head to see you. If you're holding a baby in your arms like you are, and let's say you're feeding a baby, you can put a lightly, brightly colored scarf over your shoulders so that they can see interesting colors while they're feeding. There's all these wonderful little games you could play where they track your finger. You know, you move your finger in front of their eye, and they follow it like that. That's a great developer of vision. Putting a child in a different place in your house or apartment, up high, down low, where what they see is different than what they would just see ordinarily. Those are really, really important things to do with an infant, and I highly suggest that you do that. Anybody else want to tell us? Absolutely. Wonderful. Read a book. Or look at a book. Yes.
I used to start spending some time where our son was, like crawling along the floor for 10 or 15 minutes to see what his outlook was on the world.
It really is different, isn't it? It really does make a difference. That's a wonderful suggestion, Chip. Might be boring to you, but I want to tell you it's not boring to an infant. Just think, I mean, here they've come into the world and they're seeing all these wonderful new things. And also they're beginning to discover that there's buttons you can turn and push and pull and things you can grasp at. And whenever they're to that point where they can actually hold on to something. I have a little great niece who, how old was Sarah? Maybe two or three? When she could work the TV, I think she was even younger than that. I mean, she could push every button in the house and know how it worked. Start the tape recorder, start the videos, start everything. Because little children are really interested in that. And also it develops their fine motor skills, by the way, using their fingers. Music instruction affects the spatial areas of the brain, which relates to reasoning ability. Children who receive music instruction at a young age will score higher in this skill area than others who do not have music instruction. And there's been a lot of controversy about that. You've heard about the Mozart connection. Are you all familiar with what the Mozart connection is? It actually was given to college students, not to little children. And what they did was they gave the students a test that had to do with spatial understandings. Then they played Mozart for a certain period of time, and then they gave the students the test again. And by hearing the Mozart, apparently the answers, the IQ went up. But let me tell you that it didn't last. So yes, Mozart does stimulate the brain, and it does perhaps raise the IQ for maybe an hour. So unless you play Mozart all the time. Anyway, when I was working on my brain books, that was one of the questions I had was, well, why is it Mozart? I mean, why wouldn't it be other composers of music? And Dr. Edwin Gordon, who's a real authority on this and someone that I heard at one of the seminars I went to, I asked him this question. And he said that in a baby's brain, it's already wired for certain patterns that babies understand when they're born. And so if you play Mozart, there's certain Mozart pieces that follow this same kind of pattern. And that's the reason why babies or young children relate to it, because it's the patterns in their brain that are relating to the music. Interesting, huh? Really interesting. What the patterns are, I don't know. And I know a lot about Mozart, but I have no idea what the patterns are. And nobody else seems to know either, because I've certainly tried to find out. But anyway, it certainly can't hurt to play Mozart for your children. And of course, lots of people have capitalized on that. And you have your Einstein and all of these different things where they've taken that idea and really, you know, used it a lot. Has anybody had any experience with this? With the Mozart? Yes.
Indirectly, because my mother constantly, while I grew up, and to this day, that's her favorite composer. So we were brought up, I knew Iconoclast music when I was a baby.
Really?
Constantly, and to this day, that's her favorite composer. And she's pretty smart.
Well, so was Mozart. I mean, amazingly smart when you hear that. I went to see The Magic Flute Thursday night at the Met, and when you realize that this man, this young man who was, when he died when he was like about 30, wrote this incredible opera, as he wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other pieces, you know how smart he is. Well, that's a really good point. So if you do love classical music and you like to have it in your home, it certainly is a wonderful thing to play for everybody to hear. I'll never forget, I was on a radio talk show once, and somebody called in about should you play music in the background when you're feeding a baby. And I don't see anything wrong with that unless you're playing like heavy metal or... I mean, I would think that would give them indigestion. And they wouldn't be able to digest the food well, so... Which brings up a kind of an interesting point, too, because there are teachers here. What do you think about playing music in the background in a classroom when you're doing something else? Does anybody have any? Yes.
In my classroom, I like to play instrumental music during their free playtime, because for me as a person, whenever music played and I play music with words, to me it's like I can't hear what the kids are saying because the song is playing, but, you know.
Sure. Okay, very good. Uh-huh, just the rhythm, the tempo. And you play it, but that's during their free time. Yeah, you don't play it if you're actually teaching a particular subject. I see. Okay, so anybody else want to comment on that? Yes. There's always music in the background.
Always, and they love it because even if it's like a silent type of play where they're doing their legos, their manipulatives, they're like humming to themselves, singing, talking, and we all
But they're doing a quiet kind of activity. They're not like participating in answering questions, or the teacher's not reading another book to them. I think that's kind of what she was saying, that really does interfere. Well, that's a very lovely idea about, like, with they're at their centers and they're doing Legos or something. And the things that they're learning from that, you're not even aware of. I mean, you know, it's like if you're playing an audio book and they're playing with their Legos or whatever, they're hearing that book. They're hearing that story, and they're going to retain it. You would. Why shouldn't they? One of the things that is so important is to remember that just because children are little, it doesn't mean that they're not smart. It doesn't mean that they don't understand. Little ones often don't have the language, so they can't express how they feel. But believe me, they understand. And babies, that goes for babies. Babies are brilliant. They know so much. And if you work with babies or you're a parent, you know that. You know how much they understand. It's just that they can't express it because they don't have the language. So here you're giving them an opportunity to hear more words, more expressions, more rhythms, and that's absolutely marvelous. I have trouble, like if I'm in the car and I'm listening to the radio and there's another person in the car, I can't do both. I have to turn the radio off in order to talk with them. If I'm at a restaurant many times with friends and I'll say, oh, I love that song, and they'll say, what song? Because my ear always goes to the music. And so sometimes that's a problem for me. I'm not really, because I love the music. So anyway, well, very nice. Well, I'm glad that you all agree with me. I always like it when people agree with me. Let's see. Put my glasses back on here. One of the problems with wearing glasses is, I don't know, I have to figure it out someday. I tried doing PowerPoints for a while, but that just didn't work for me. So anyway, I didn't. Number 5 says, children need to hear words. That's kind of what we were just talking about. The more you talk to them, the more words they will say and they will understand. So this is another song about friendship. And this is a really delightful song. It's been used by a lot of people for various programs, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if you've ever heard, if you heard of the saxophone player Richie Cole, anybody a jazz fan here? Anyway, he's a very famous saxophone player. And he was in Kansas City, where I live, a couple weeks ago. And he recorded one of my songs, not this one, it's a song called The Furry Squirrel. He did a jazz arrangement of it. And but this was the song that he took home to his family because he wants to teach it to them. What are friends for? A friend is for talking. What are friends for? A friend is for walking. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you. 'Cause you're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. Now your part goes la 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 la. On the recording, it's a saxophone playing, so kids get to hear a saxophone. But we don't. If you want to make your voice sound like a saxophone, that would be fine. But we want you to sing la 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 la. Try it. La 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 la. Good. All right. So you'll know what to sing when we come to that part, right? What's a friend for? A friend is for talking. Oh, what's a friend for? A friend is for walking. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you. 'Cause you're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. Big lalas. La 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 la. Beautiful. What's a friend for? A friend.
friend is for sharing. What's a friend for? A friend is for caring. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you, 'cause you're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. La 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 la.
Okay, so tell me, what do you like to do with your friends? Laugh? Okay, great. What else? Play? Okay, somebody else?
Build.
Build? What's a friend for? A friend is for playing. Well, what's a friend for? A friend is for building. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you, 'cause you're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. La 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 la. See how this is building vocabulary? What else do you like to do with your friends? Sing? All right, good. What else? What?
Ride
your bike. Okay. Usually I get eating, shopping. Okay. What's a friend for? A friend is for singing. What's a friend for? A friend is for riding. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you, 'cause you're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. You're my friend. F-R-I-E-N-D. La 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 la. What's a friend for? A friend is for swimming. What's a friend for? A friend is for... Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you. Let's sing that part again. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I like to do with you. Thank you. It's interesting to hear the different ideas that people have in this song, what they suggest from different, you know, wherever I am. And I've been, the last 4 years, I've been going to Singapore to do some teaching and do workshops. And in Singapore, the words are totally different than they are in America. Just completely different ideas about what people like to do with their friends. Yes. Sure. That's a good question, and I'm sure other people have had that same experience with their children. And many times in a classroom, you'll have kids that'll put their hands over their ears because they don't want to join in the singing. In a classroom, I mean, if kids don't want to sing, I don't believe that you should ever force them to do that. Just let them listen. I don't know your child, so chances are, you know, there's so many sides to that. One side said, sure, go on and sing. Or maybe if you could be pleasant about it and say, oh, come on, sing with me. This is so much fun. On the other hand, there's those shows like Oprah, who last week there was a show where this 10-year-old was screaming at her parents and controlling her parents totally. So don't you do this, don't you do that. So you don't want that. So I don't know. How does somebody else handle that? I can't hear you. Say it again. Okay, those are good ideas. And another thing you could do is maybe, like, sing a song and just leave out one word and let him or her fill in the word. You know, play a game, make a game out of it. That might be a good idea. Yes? Okay. Okay, good. Those are all great. You can try them all, right? Somebody back there, I think, had a suggestion. Yes. Okay, good. Giving them choices. Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice. Yes. That is very true, Chip.
And, it's more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. And we just happen to have a book coming out about it in September.
Well, it's a very interesting topic because I just finished my last book I wrote for Griffin House is about the five senses, and it just won a Napa Award also. And when I was working on it, I came across a lot of information about sensory integration. So it's a really important thing to know about. Yes, somebody over here had wanted to say something. Okay, good point. Yes.
I have an unrelated question, but in my family we speak three different languages. I speak one language, my husband speaks one language, and then obviously. Now, my mother-in-law tells me that I'm doing harm to my child by giving her stones because it's green. Yeah.
No, 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 no. What are we going to do with these mother-in-laws, huh? Don't do that. You'll spoil the baby. Don't do that. Don't pick them up. Let them cry. Don't let them cry, for heaven's sake. Well, actually, the new brain research says that you start a second language at birth. And if you want to start two more languages at birth, great. You're just going to have a trilingual child, and that's fantastic. Really fantastic. Anybody disagree with that? When emotion, oh, did somebody else want to say something? I don't want
to. Relating to what she said.
Pardon me?
Relating to what she said, do you have any songs listening in other languages?
Do I have other songs in other languages? One of my songs, which is actually at my website right now, and I hope you will all go there, because there's not only my products, but there are articles that you can download to use for your school, for teacher meetings, for your parents, if you do home visits. You can hear song. You can download some of my songs, and one of them is called No, No, No. I like to say no, and it's also in Spanish. It's in English and Spanish. Many of my books, in fact, almost all of my books, have been published in Spanish, haven't they? I'm pretty sure. I know that there's a Spanish publisher that likes my books very much. And Griffin House has some of them, of the Spanish books, in their catalog and at their website. No, I don't. I've written a couple songs. Interestingly enough, my songs are sold, you know, like on iTunes and all these different places and CD Baby. And the ones that are downloaded, I get reports of who has but what songs. And the most popular song that I've written, I never would have suspected, has been downloaded the most, is a song called The Chinese New Year. And it's about the Chinese New Year. It's all about the customs and all. It's a lovely song, but it's the most popular song for downloads. So I guess maybe it has to do that they have a big Asian clientele. That would be the only reason I could figure it out. And I've just written a song for the Mooncake Festival, which is a wonderful Asian festival that I got to attend a couple times. And it's got a little bit of Mandarin Chinese in it, but I can't pronounce it. I mean, I've got the phonetic pronunciation, and I have to practice it every time I get ready to sing it. It's so different. Yes.
I recently read about this woman. I'm not sure if you've heard of her. I think her name is Marcella Lowell. She's studying at the University of Massachusetts for a doctorate degree. She has a theory, and I'm wondering if you've heard it or if you agree with it, that if you put things to music, people learn better. So for inner city youth, often they're putting, you know, calculus to rap music or that kind of thing, and I'm wondering if that's something that you...
Oh, I definitely agree with that. In fact, there were a whole series of cassettes that came out many years ago about with math, teaching addition, subtraction, and a group called the Twin Sisters. One of the things that I do, other jobs that I do in writing, is if any of you subscribe to the Discovery Channel has a website called somethingstreaming.com. I can't remember the first part of it. Anyway, I helped them set up the music on their website. And so I had heard all of these recordings by the Twin Sisters. And they have a whole set of recordings of just that very thing, of teaching things through music, addition, subtraction, etc. And they're very good. Do you remember when they added the area code to the telephone numbers? Most of you probably aren't old enough to remember that. But that's how they did it with a song. And it was on television, on the radio all the time, and everybody got in the habit of singing, and so they learned to add the area code. So I completely agree with it, yes. Anybody else? Okay, I wanted to talk about when emotions are experienced, the brain is activated. Emotions create a release of chemicals that help retain the memory. So the more emotions that you experience, that your child experiences, the more memories they're going to retain. So if you get excited about things and you let children get excited about things, they're going to even learn even better. And oh gosh, our time is getting away. So here's a song I wrote. It's called "I'm So Mad I Could Scream." And you get to scream. The words say, "I'm so mad I could scream." And then you go, ah, ah. Let me hear you scream. That's very good. I'm so mad I could scream. I'm so mad I could scream. I'm so mad, I'm really mad. I could scream, I could scream, I could scream. Now, in case we have any English scholars out in the audience, mad is really not correct. It should be angry. But I'm so angry I could scream just doesn't feel like I'm so mad. So anyway, I did lots of checking, and actually mad isn't in the dictionary. Ready? I'm so mad I could scream. I'm so mad I could scream. I'm so mad I'm really mad. I could scream, I could scream, I could scream. Now this gives you a chance to talk to children about what they do when they get angry. You don't hit, you don't spit, you don't bite, you don't kick. What do you do when you get angry? What else could you do besides scream? Stomp your foot. I'm so mad I could stomp my foot. I'm so mad I could stomp my foot. I'm so mad I'm really mad. I could stomp, I could stomp, I could stomp my foot. I'm so glad I could laugh. I'm so glad I could laugh. I'm so glad, I'm really glad. I could laugh, I could laugh, I could laugh. What else do you do when you're really glad? Dance. I'm so glad I could dance. I'm so glad I could dance. I'm so glad, I'm really glad. I could dance, I could dance, I could dance. so sad I could cry. I'm so sad, I'm really sad. I could cry, I could cry, I could cry. What else do you do when you're really sad? I'm so sad, I could pout. I'm so sad, I could pout. I'm so sad, I'm really sad. I could pout, I could pout. A song like this brings up such wonderful conversations with children. It not only teaches them positive things, but the words that come out are marvelous. Now, there's another emotion that I didn't put in the song because I was using mad, sad, glad, and they rhyme. But what would that be? A very important emotion that young children experience all the time. Fear. I'm so scared I could shake. I'm so scared I could shake. I'm so scared I could shake. I'm so scared, I'm really scared. I could shake, I could shake, I could shake. So songs like that are really, really important to give children a chance to express their feelings, to express their emotions, and at the same time, you're doing great things for the brain because the brain's little neurons are going chip, 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 and they're all going to the right places in the brain where they belong, and children are retaining memory, and that's really important because we all like to remember, because as we get older, we don't. We begin to forget. The last one on that list of themes is about small muscles and developing motor muscles and how important that is. And does everybody have that? Just let me remember exactly what it says. Exercising small muscles stimulate brain growth. Using your hands in many ways, such as puzzles, working with clay, finger plays, will all help the brain grow. And I know that in an early childhood classroom, you're doing all those kinds of things anyway, all the time. Here's a great song to do, and many of you may know it. It's an old jump rope chant called Miss Mary Mac. And a lot of people have put it to music, and so have I. The words are Miss Mary Mac, 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 all dressed in black, 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 with silver buttons, buttons, buttons up and down her back, back, back. She asked her mother, mother, mother for 15 cents, cents, cents to see the elephants, elephants, elephants jump the fence, fence, fence. They jumped so high, 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 they reached the sky, 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 and they didn't come back, back, back till the 4th of July. Okay, let's sing it. And clap your hands together as you sing this song. And if you've got a little one with you, take their hands and clap it for them. Miss Mary Mac, 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 all dressed in black, 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 with silver buttons, buttons, buttons up and down her back, back, back. She asked her mother, mother, mother for 15 cents, cents, cents to see the elephants, elephants, elephants jump the fence, fence, fence. They jump so high, 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 they reach the sky, 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 and they did come back, back, back till the 4th of July. Okay, find yourself a partner. And we're going to clap each other's hands. If you're doing it with your child, if you have a young child, hold your hand steady and let your child hit your hand like that. Because it's too hard for them. They're not motor developed enough to do it the other way. And if you want to do the stuff you learned when you were a kid in school with crossing your hands and doing all kinds of fancy stuff, you can do that too. Because actually when you do that crossing, you're actually crossing the midline, which is a very important thing in development, and using both sides of the brain. Okay, you ready? Miss Mary Mac, 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 all dressed in black, 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 with silver buttons, buttons, buttons up down her back, back, back. She asked her mother, mother, mother for 15 cents, cents, cents to see the elephants, elephants, elephants jump the fence. They jumped so high, 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 they reached the sky, 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 and they didn't come back, back, back till the 4th of July, la, la. In my travels, I've learned a couple other verses in different parts of the country. She went upstairs to say her prayers, and she bumped her head on a piece of cornbread. Another one. She went upstairs to say her prayers, and she came downstairs in her underwears. 5-year-olds love the word underwear. They think it's the funniest word in the English language. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Actually, the song, like, shocks them when they hear it, because I do it in my classes. When they hear it, they're like in shock, because you're singing those words that they just love. It also goes, yes, 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 I like to say yes. There's the other part of it. But the best time, I think, to use it myself is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when everybody's getting really tired and really cranky and really everything. It kind of puts humor. In fact, I have a book I wrote for Griffin House about laughter, the learning power of laughter, and boy, it is powerful. Laughter is very powerful. So it puts a humorous side on it, and it's good for you as a teacher as well as for the kids, because it makes you feel better.
The no part.
Pardon me?
Sing a little bit of the no part.
Oh, you want me to sing it? Oh, sure. No, 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 I like to say no. No, 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 I like to say no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 I like to say no. Yes, 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 I like to say yes. Yes, 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 I like to say yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 I like to say yes. And then it's also in Spanish on the recording. Don't ask me to speak the Spanish, because I'd have to practice it. And I'm not prepared. Any other questions? Yes. I do. I did not bring any with me to New York, but I have several. I just did a whole, just had a whole big book made on the song What Are Friends For, that I'm getting ready to. And then I make my own visuals. I mean, I have lots of pictures. And I think that's really important in a classroom. Yes?
I just have to say, since you do these songs at our preschool, sign language.
Which is wonderful.
So
she's saying they use sign language with their songs. Yes, because music and singing does develop language. The two things that I have discovered from these classes that I've been teaching for parents and babies for 20 plus years is that, first of all, parents come back to me with the baby that was in the womb And they tell me always, oh, this baby is so much more musical. Well, of course, they've been singing. You know, that's one thing. And the other is the language development. It makes such a big difference. It really does. When I used to go to a preschool once a month. It was called, it has a terrible name. It was called the Crippled Children's Nursery School. And most of the children there had spina bifida. Many of them were hard of hearing. I always wore a microphone for the hard of hearing children. And the teachers signed the songs like you do. And, of course, all the children signed them, whether they were hard of hearing or not. They loved it. They loved using the language. And think of the motor development that you do when you're doing signing. It's wonderful for fine motor skills. Well, anyway, one day I was there, and I was singing with the kids, and all of a sudden the teachers started screaming and yelling, and they were so excited. And what I found out was that there was an autistic child in the class who had never spoken, and he was making sounds with the music. It was a very touching experience. But, I mean, music can do things that nothing else can. Nothing else can do it like music. Anybody else? Well, I wanted to read something to you. I was, I'm just about three, so that's good. I was at a conference about 3 months ago in North Dakota, and they passed this out to everyone. And by the way, this is at my website. I put it there. I have a new section called Inspirations, and I'm adding to it all the time. And it just has things you can say that will, a read that will inspire you as a teacher. Because remember, what you are doing with your child is the most important thing the child will ever experience. You are the ones that make a difference in the lives of your children, the teachers and the parents. So this is called Today. Today, like millions of other Americans, I went to work, and I didn't design a beautiful skyscraper. And I didn't write a proposal to save an endangered species. And I didn't drive a bus or fly a plane. I didn't write a crucial bill that would someday become a law. However, I spent some time with very important people. I read a story to an attorney. I sang the alphabet song to a Supreme Court justice. I ate lunch with a pastor. And I patted the back of an engineer until he fell asleep. I taught a policeman how to tie his shoes, and I introduced an astronaut to the color red. Tomorrow, who knows whom I'll meet, but one thing is for sure, they will be very important, for they are our precious children and the hope of our future. Isn't that beautiful? And I tried to find out the author, of course, and they didn't know, and so I don't know who wrote it. But anyway, it is at my website, so you can read it and share it with others. Harry Chapin was a wonderful songwriter, one of my favorites, and so this is a song that he wrote. I added my own verse, and luckily had the fortune, good fortune, of meeting Tom Chapin recently, a couple years ago, who is Harry's brother. And I sang this for him, and now he sings at his programs for teachers. All my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. The moon rose through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. You may know it, please sing. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the days go rolling by. Try it. All my life's a circle. All my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. The moon rose through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, I can't tell you why, and I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years go rolling by. I've seen you a thousand times, and I know you've done the same. And then we lose each other,
It's just like a children's game. But now I've found you here again. The thought runs through my mind. Our love is like a circle. Let's go round one more time. All my life. All my life is a circle. Sunrise and sundown. The moon rose through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, and I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years go rolling by. Show the children every day, show them that you care. Find those special moments anytime and anywhere. You can make a difference. Believe me, it is true. Your love is like a circle, and it will come back to you. All my life is a circle. Sunrise, sunrise, and sundown. The moon rose through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, and I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years go rolling by. Thank you, New York. It's been wonderful to be here.
Coming today and for joining our program with Jackie Silberg. Thank you so much for coming from Kansas City to New York. And if you want to hear more from Jackie, she'll be at the Bronx Library Center on Fordham Road this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. So thank you so much, Jackie.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you.